Someone clutches your toes while you sleep, but no one's there. Someone appears behind you in a selfie when the hallway was empty. A fake doctor's patients knock on the walls of the morgue, inviting you to avenge their deaths. This is the true crime story of the Crescent Hotel, where you might just check in and never leave. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you all so much for joining me today, and double thanks to my Patreon patrons. I hope that you guys someday band together and give yourselves like a cutesy nickname, like Katie's Little Criminals. Now, I'm the type of person who loves the thrill of going to a scary movie or hearing a frightening story, but then I'll also stay up every night for a week thinking about it. And the perfect place to stay up all night thinking about ghosts is the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, because the ghosts will gladly keep you company. This town right on the Missouri border has more than its share of historic hotels, but only one of them has the honor of being named America's Most Haunted Hotel by Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. And I mean, if you can't trust them, who can you trust? The most paranormal room in the hotel, and therefore the most popular, is number 218, known as Michael's Room. Michael was an Irish stonemason hired to help construct the hotel in the 1880s. He was just a kid, only 17 years old. And when only the skeleton of the hotel had been built, it's rumored that Michael fell to his death in that room. Now his poltergeist haunts 218, where guests have seen hands coming out of the mirrors in the bathroom, the screams of a young man coming through the ceiling as he falls, a balcony door opening and then slamming shut. Flirty and handsome in his short lifetime, Michael supposedly took his fall when he leaned over just a little too far while trying to catch the eye of a young lady. Today, he's known to have a particular interest in female guests of the hotel, and I would make a joke here about him being a perv, except I don't want him to somehow come and find me in New York City. As another famous story about the hotel goes, a woman was staying in a room with her husband and two friends and kept having a sickening feeling. Out to dinner somewhere in town, totally fine. Back at the hotel, completely nauseated. But hey, she was also pregnant. But that first night, her friend's husband just kept getting up to go to the bathroom during the night, walking back and forth across the room, and she was like, "Hey, I thought I was supposed to be the one with the pregnancy bladder here." Later, she felt him touch her toes, but she couldn't see what was going on in the dark and tried to forget it. But moments later, he was by her head, loudly clearing his throat. She jerked awake, but when she got her bearings, she could see that everyone else in the room was sound asleep, toes untouched, and throat uncleared. She spent the rest of the night focused only on her furiously beating heart. The next morning, the friend's husband said that not only had he not gone to the bathroom even once, but he'd never left his bed at all. They checked out before breakfast was even served. But the most famous resident spirit of the Crescent Hotel is Norman Baker, born in 1882 in Iowa. He got rich off of his invention of a mobile steam whistle, the kind you used to see at carnivals, and then became a vaudeville performer who could supposedly read minds. His next venture was a Midwestern radio station he called Know the Naked Truth, and it seems like he was the early version of today's famous talk radio conspiracy theorists. He thought there was a cartel of bigger radio broadcasters out to get him and used his station as a platform to fight every sort of local business, media group, and political organization that went against his ideas. He railed against mandated disease testing for livestock, fluoride in drinking water, vaccines, and aluminum cookware that he said caused cancer. And that gave him an idea. In the late 1920s, Baker heard about a man who was successfully convincing people that he could cure cancer, and he wanted in on that racket. He opened the Baker Institute in Iowa and began selling his own cure, a mix of everyday ingredients like peppermint, corn silk, watermelon seeds, clover, water, and carbolic acid, which is used in antiseptics and paint strippers. He called it Secret Formula No. 5 and charged an outrageous amount for the mixture. But he gave it legitimacy by promoting the institute on his radio station. He tried to convince his listeners that real doctors were quacks and that the MD behind their names stood for more dough. He created a huge event that's been likened to Woodstock, where his followers could gather for a huge curing in the great outdoors, and tens of thousands showed up to spend the money on his snake oil. But the state of Iowa finally caught up with him in 1930, accusing him of practicing medicine without a license and shutting down his radio station. So in 1937, he went to Arkansas to start over, where no one knew his past. He bought the Crescent Hotel, which had fallen on hard times during the Depression. When it opened in 1886, the five-story limestone building had cost $294,000 to build, or almost $8 million today, and was considered the most luxurious resort hotel of the time. Norman Baker remodeled the hotel into the Baker Cancer Institute and called it a castle in the air, spotlighting its location high above the town, looking down on the kingdom of Eureka Springs. It was originally meant as a mountain resort for the rich railroad execs of the day, but now Baker said it was a place where you could get your cancer cured without having to be cut open. He decorated it in lavender to match the white suits with purple shirts he was fond of wearing. Baker had a guarantee that promised free treatment if your cancer wasn't cured in 3 to 6 weeks. You just had to pay for room, board, and transportation to line his pockets, of course. He would examine patients by looking at them and, you know, pinching them, like a doctor does. There were no microscopes, no normal lab equipment one might need to study cancer or any disease, just loads of those secret formula number 5 injections that might as well have been sugar syrup. And hey, if you had hemorrhoids or varicose veins or really anything, the secret formula could heal those too. Baker brought new life to the town's economy over the next few years, but the federal government found him this time, shutting down his fake cancer-killing watermelon seed business and gave him 4 years in jail. And now he and his former patients forever haunt the home where his fraud killed them. It's said that when someone at the clinic would die from receiving his fake treatment, he would have them wheeled down to the morgue in the middle of the night so no one would be any the wiser. To this day, visitors to the Crescent Hotel can hear the gurney rolling across the floor or knocking on the walls down there. Some have seen a dark figure, like the outline of a nurse, and felt cold spots. And apparently the morgue has only become even more of a hotbed for paranormal activity in the past few years. You can still see Baker's autopsy table and walk-in cadaver cooler in the hotel basement. He always had bottles lining the wall of his quote-unquote hospital filled with specimens that were supposedly tumors and other tidbits of human flesh. But when he went off to jail, the new owners of the Crescent Hotel were said to have taken the bottles to the dump. Everyone just assumed that meant the local landfill, until one day in 2019, the hotel was digging ground for its new archery range and discovered that the dump was a hole in their own backyard. The state archaeologist says that more than 20 of the bottles do appear to contain tissue, but they can't be sure if it's human, animal, or just another one of Baker's fabrications. Whatever the case, it seems like he's definitely noticed people messing with his prized bottles.
These jars are where the medical specimens were located. Some of them were broken. We do have multiple jars. And here is the miracle cure. So every morning,
the cure for cancer.
Every morning, you would get a little of this elixir and it'd be part of your cure here at the Baker Cancer Hospital.
There are loads of other non-paying guests at the hotel, like a little blonde boy who died of appendicitis and still comes out to play ball with other children who think he's just like them. A cancer patient who will clean up your room for you when you leave, which must make her a favorite of the housekeeping staff. And Morris the cat, who lived at the hotel for 21 years and was lovingly referred to as the general manager. Guests can still feel his fur brush against their legs. When the TV show Ghost Adventures visited the hotel, they saw a curtain move, captured an electronic recording of someone saying, "Help me," saw an unexplained mist, and heard a loud bang inside a wall. And in 2017, a 62-year-old man walked out of the fourth-floor bar and simply fell over the railing, plunging to his death over the staircase. So why is the Crescent Hotel such a hotbed for ghostly activity? Well, for one, a lot of people died there thanks to Norman Baker's fake cancer treatment. And two, the hotel was built on Crescent Mountain, which is largely limestone, and the building itself is made of limestone. Some call it the perfect conduit to connect us to the spirits of yesteryear. The stone tape theory says that hauntings come from a mechanism like a tape recording, where energy from emotional or traumatic events are recorded onto impressionable items. And limestone, a soft rock, could be impressed upon. People who are open to the experience may produce the right conditions for the memory to be, quote-unquote, played back to them. Hence, a haunting. Of course, the director of marketing for the Crescent Hotel says that ghosts are known to haunt for two main reasons. Because they have unfinished business, or because it's a location they enjoyed in life. And he's always claimed, "We've made people happy since 1886, so of course they're going to come back and enjoy more time at the Crescent Hotel. So what do you think? Do you believe in the haunted happenings at this hotel? Are you afraid of ghosts? And if you want to freak yourself out tonight, go to the Crescent Hotel Ghost Tours Facebook page and check out post after post of people taking selfies where someone shows up in the background who didn't appear there at the time, or a face that can be seen in the wallpaper, or the reflection of a shadowy figure glimpsed in the glass of an old-timey photo. Good luck getting to sleep. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.